God of all wisdom, may my mouth speak truth. And together may we glorify your name. Our first scripture lesson comes to us this morning from the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. You may follow along in the bulletin if you so desire. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Elijah responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Our second reading comes to us from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. At this time, are there any children who would like to come forward and join me over here? You want to sit over there instead, or how about joining us over here? Good morning. Good morning. And what are your names? Sydney. And what's your name? Ricia? Lucia. Lucia and Sydney. I'm Scott Nesbitt, and I'm preaching today, in case you didn't guess that already. Yeah, so. Have the two of you ever played Follow the Leader before? Yeah? You want to play a little game of Follow the Leader now? Okay, I'll be the leader. You guys follow me. All right. Ready to go? All right. Wow, you guys do a really great job. I don't think I could shake you if I tried to run away from you, could I? Right on my tail. Oh, fantastic. Hey, well, go ahead and take a seat. You did a fantastic job. Well, today, we heard a story about two guys, Elijah and Elisha, and they were kind of playing a little bit of a game of follow the leader. Elijah was the leader and Elisha was following him. But the funny thing is that Elijah kept telling Elisha, stay here. But Elisha wouldn't do it. He stuck on his tail. And what we're going to talk about today is that sometimes in life, we just have to stick to it. Sometimes we just have to keep going. And then in the end, we find ourselves in a better place. You ever had a difficult day where you just said, oh, I just got to get it through today? Just got to get through this hour? Yeah. That's kind of what we'll talk a little bit about today. So, can we join hands in circle and have a word of prayer? So. We thank you, O God, for Sydney and Lucia. And we pray that in this time and in this place, we might bring you joy with our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up here today. I appreciate it. This morning, if we took the time to go around the room and ask people to tell us about their most memorable journeys, I suspect we'd have quite a remarkable collection. Some of you would have tales that would bring us to laughter. Others might bring us to tears. And still others would compel us to ponder the deep realities of life itself. We all have our journey stories. Journey, in both language and concept, is something deeply rooted within the human psyche. We say no one should judge us unless they've walked in our own shoes. We readily quote ancient proverbs like, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Or we'll sit transfixed listening to epic tales like The Hobbit or Star Wars while the characters embark upon seemingly impossible quests. Journeys, whether literal or allegorical, are important, and we know it. So in reading the passage today from Elisha's claiming of Elijah's mantle, we cannot ignore the journey in which this event takes place. The first thing to note, however, is that Elisha and Elijah enjoyed a profound mentor-protege relationship. And so it seems a bit unusual for Elijah to tell Elisha not to come along on what might be a final trip. You would think that with mentor and protege together, that they should go all the way to the end. But Elijah puts this statement forward more than once to Elisha, to stay. It sounds odd. So there must be something else going on. The command to stay may, in fact, be something else. As events unfold and the demands to remain become more adamant, complete with other elders chiming in that Elisha must not proceed further, it seems that what we're really witnessing here is a test. It's a test. The worthiness of Elisha to take Elijah's mantle, the level of Elisha's diligence, are being evaluated, leaving God to determine if Elisha really could be the next chosen prophet. But if you have any doubts about whether Elisha's merits are being tested, just pull out a map and look at all of the places he and Elijah visit. It's very strange. The pattern is confusing, it's meandering. It's almost as if Elijah tries to shake Elisha off the trail. There's no clear direction in their journey, and so the purpose is not the journey itself. It's not about the destination. It's about seeing how far Elisha would go to take hold of what is presented to him. From the perspective of the writer, God already knows what caliber of person Elisha is. God has already determined whether Elisha will succeed Elijah. But this is a journey toward understanding, a journey to help Elisha figure out for himself who he is, what he is capable of, and ultimately, what his relationship with God must be. In similar fashion, we ourselves are all taking journeys toward understanding. We take journeys of self-discovery, journeys of growing intimacy with loved ones, journeys of deepening faith, journeys of cultural engagement. We take these journeys of understanding in big and small ways every single day. And God knows what we are capable of achieving. The question is, do we know what is within our grasp? Do we know what we are capable of achieving? How far are we able to go? Of course, journeys are rarely easy. People face challenges that seem too daunting. Prejudice and hatred rear their ugly heads to incite confusion and violence. Personal perspectives get in the way of seeing the truth, and sometimes a real blessing is presented to us in ways that seem like no blessing at all. In my own story, just a few weeks ago, I was in a car accident that totaled my car. I came out with bumps and bruises all over the place, no internal injuries, no broken bones. But the interesting thing is, as much as that tragedy stood there before us, it brought my wife and I on a journey of other understanding, something that made us reevaluate our own lives and our relationships. Some events don't look like blessings, and yet they are. In the case of Elisha, he sees Elijah drawn up into the whirlwind, and we hear his cry, "Father, Father." He is losing his mentor, his friend. And yet, it is a blessing because this is how the mantle is passed on to him, and he receives the blessing of God to be the next prophet. In our world today, we know of many places and circumstances where violence seems to run rampant, where people struggle to make ends meet, where everything seems to be going wrong. And so this is where we take a cue from Elisha. Keep moving forward. Press forward through the obstacles. Move beyond the calls of negative voices telling you to stop and go back. Strive to build peace even as wars rage around you. Do all you are able to grow in your own understanding and to bring others into understanding too. Keep moving. Keep pressing, no matter how hard it may seem to be. On our journeys with Christ as our companion, understanding will come along with blessing. Sometimes, as I said before, it won't be obvious what we are getting, and there will be moments of struggle, but if we persevere with Him, we will be filled with knowledge of God's will. We will gain all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If we follow Christ, no matter how meandering the path might seem, we will lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. If we journey with Christ to the very end, we will be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. And when we achieve a point in time where when we have the ability to endure everything with patience and joy, we will know our journey to understanding has reached its greatest vista. This morning, as we talk about journeys of understanding, I have chosen a confession of faith from the Maasai people, a semi-nomadic group. The confession is very similar to the Apostles' Creed, but written in language that the Maasai were familiar with. It seemed fitting that as we talk about journeys, to use a confession from those who journey. May we, as we speak it together, join one another in a journey of understanding each other and the world. Amen.